Decoding the 100 on cricket, only better. Hello, I'm Ed Hawkins, betting.betfair cricket correspondent. This is The Cob, episode 91. Welcome along. Forget all the glitz, the glamour, the rustling of crisp packets and the 100 hype. This is where you come for cold, hard facts about what's happening in the newfangled format. So no rapping this week, I'm afraid, Sam Collins. Did Sony get in touch at all?
I didn't see it as rapping so much, Ed Hawkins. It was just the natural way to express myself about how I felt the 100 was progressing. Anyway, the tournament is underway, like it or not, cricket or not cricket, BBC or Sky, wherever you go. And we are beginning to make sense of it for you. To help as ever, we have betting.betfair Paul Krishnamurti with us. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Very well, Paul. Very well. And you stuck with us through the tough times, whereas Richard Mann went off to a tent, didn't you, Richard Mann?
And you're back. I did. I did indeed, Sam. Yes, I'm full of ice cream and feeling very remorseful about missing your excellent rapping, which I have caught up with, I must say.
Oh, who hasn't? Who hasn't? Right. Well, lot to get through. Ed Hawkins, do you want to tell us what we've got?
Sony clearly haven't, but a lot to get through. You're right. The 100 housekeeping.
You don't know that. I didn't answer your question. You don't know that. I'm just keeping you on your toes.
Okay. All right. Right. The 100 housekeeping, packed with goodness as we work out how to bet. Some interesting trends beginning to emerge. Lots of data to get through. And I think we're going to really be able to help you out on some of these markets.
Lovely stuff. I look forward to that. We've got two matches to preview as well. In that competition, Thursday and Friday, West Indies versus Pakistan in the 2020 also. But most importantly, our best bets, which last week had the most extraordinary running tally of plus 38.66. Richard Mann and Paul Krishnamurti are winning you money, folks. Let's go. Let's get on with the show. Right, let's start part one with this week's stat of the week, which comes from the cricket writer John Culley, who says, "Geez, I'm already sick of hearing everyone on TV raving about how exciting the 100 is. Look, it's just T20 with five ball overs. T20 is exciting. The 100 isn't any more exciting. It's just the same, okay?" Is that a stat, Ed Hawkins?
No, it's more of a sort of a tweet of the week, but because he's used some numbers in there, it's qualified as stat of the week. And I thought it would play up to your strengths of being quite political about this.
He has literally used a number, so that qualifies as stat of the week. But I am not anti the 100. I actually think, to be honest, I just think any cricket tournament where you've got the best players playing is great. I just think it needs to be. I just think it's a nonsense that it's now disappeared off free to air prime time until August the 10th in male and female sports. That's a nonsense, but it's a great tournament. What's not to like apart from the names? Anyway, 100 housekeeping coming up. Ed Hawkins has got some great data for you. Quick check on the outright though from Betfair Sportsbook, all subject to change. I'm going to give it my names and then I'm going to in brackets the official 100 names. So 7-2 Nottingham and Trent Rockets, 9-2 London, South West London, wasn't it? Oval Invincibles. Fives are Manchester, Manchester Originals, and sixes are Wales, who are, what are they? What is their name? Someone remind me.
Welsh Fire.
Oh, God. And Birmingham Phoenix. Sevens are the Northern Superchargers, and Southampton, that is Southern Brave, and North London, that is London Spirit. That might have confused you, but I just need to make the point about those names. Right, before we come to Ed, Richard Mann, folks have lost faith in Southern Brave or Southampton, whatever we're calling them, very quickly after their opening defeat. But those odds would suggest that we're all still guessing about who is a viable winner in this tournament.
I think we are. And I think the important thing to remember is it's still early days. It's early days for the tournament and it's early days as a concept as well. And it sort of, for punters and analysts, it almost feels like an arms race, really. You're trying to get as much information into your brain as possible and try and get ahead of the game, really. Try and find some trends, try and find some angles to explore faster than the next guy, if you like. So hopefully turn some profit, and fingers crossed over the next half an hour or so we'll be able to do that. And then in the next week, I think it's just a real learning exercise now. And me and Ed's going to pick up on the man of the match thing later on. But there's some interesting angles already appearing. So fingers crossed we can unearth some value.
Paul Krishnamurti, what are your early thoughts on this tournament?
What I would say is more widely about it. A lot of people have said to me, people who like cricket but obviously don't follow it anything like I do, have said how great it was. You know, loads of people have said that to me, really entertaining. And it is, to quote John Cullen, I agree with John Cullen, it's nonsense. It's just T20 with three less overs. But something has cut through a little bit. Maybe it's the new franchise, the new teams, the new city names, just a bit of hype. And so, you know, maybe this is the way forward, and let's dump the blast. There's too many games in the blast. You know, that doesn't work at all. You get too many games called off. So I would think that. But personally, I'm not hugely pleased about this because it's going to take so much attention away from the 50-over game. I mean, we've had so much cricket in the last week. Personally, I would rather watch Sri Lanka, India and West Indies, Australia 50 overs. But it's kind of had to play second fiddle, which is a bit annoying. There's less money on the exchange during those games because there's more money in the 100 games. So I guess I'm going to have to just get with it and pay more attention this week.
Brilliantly curmudgeonly, Paul. That is wonderful stuff. Ed Hawkins, can we have your first tranche of data, please? Because I gather that you, aside from keeping an eye on your two small children, have also been keeping an eye on innings runs.
Yes, if you can steal a march on what is a good first innings score, you're winning the arms race, to quote Richard Mann. So we've only had six games so far, so admittedly a small study sample. In our preview shows, we were really trying to work out what was going to be a first innings score, and CricViz with their fancy algorithm were insistent that it's going to be around about that 143, 144, 1545 mark. Well, it's coming in a bit lower than that. Batting first at the moment, average a score of 134.5 and average runs per ball of 1.38. Slightly surprised we're not seeing more intent from batters, but that is because, as we discussed in that preview show, and we were adamant about that, teams were not going to know what a good score was, and that is likely to cause a toss bias. And we have seen that so far. It could be a trend which continues throughout the tournament. We talked about the Abu Dhabi T10 as a pointer for this because teams did not know what a good score was, and we might be seeing that repeated. And we're not going to get these pitches any faster or flatter. I think we've got in so many games now, we're getting worn surfaces. Batting second, there's a slight advantage to batting second that we can see with your runs per ball average, that's at 1.46, trumping that 1.38. And two pitches in particular which has really interested us: Manchester's Old Trafford surface and the Trent Bridge surface. Ben Stokes called Old Trafford horrific. It's a slow, low burner, and run getting is going to be very, very hard. Certainly see under 140, under maybe even 130 at that ground consistently. And Trent Bridge, big news this, we're going to have to change our view on Trent Bridge, I think. They are preparing slow, low turners for the likes of Rashid Khan. It's not a flat batting paradise anymore. So we're going to have to start shorting those runs if we're getting runs par lines at the 155 or 150 mark. I think we're going to have to start taking a view on going unders on your innings runs.
Okay, Richard Mann, that Old Trafford pitch Ed Hawkins has discussed. Worn surfaces, women's matches taking place too. Is this making it a lottery? And does that make it a situation where we have, teeing up Ed Hawkins again here as well, a scenario where teams are going to be wanting to chase on these pitches?
I'm not so sure, actually. I think we might get a scenario over the next few weeks. If you think about it, you're playing on a used surface that's been used twice, and then you're batting second on the second day of the second set of matches. You could be playing in the eighth innings there. Now, that's a warm surface. We've had dry weather as well, a lot of spin. And I think if you're chasing against a good spin attack, particularly in the day, like it's Monday now, so Sunday yesterday, we saw at Old Trafford, it's going to be really difficult to chase against high-quality spin. Might be a little bit different in a day-night match when the lights are on, and if do play as a factor, and it might help the wicket quicken up and the ball might skid on. But in the day, or early evening at least, if you're chasing against high-quality spin on a USEF, it's going to be really tricky. And it wouldn't surprise me if somewhere along the way we saw a ridiculously low run chase fail, someone might get really rumbled out cheaply. So that might be something to keep an eye on. It won't happen all the time, of course, and I'm sure the stats would still be in favour of chasing, but somewhere I think there's going to be a real card crash.
A card crash?
It's a new phrase. I've just made that up on the spot. And I like it, actually.
Great. I was just wondering where we could go with that. Excellent. I look forward. Next week, Richard Mann will be explaining in depth the concept of a card crash.
I don't even know where that came from.
It's all good. The Ed Hawkins, any thoughts?
Yeah, to reiterate that toss bias, which is burgeoning, I have to say, it's very, very early days, but it's 4 out of 6, and referencing that Abu Dhabi T10 is just a point of interest, really. But I do expect that to carry on. And we might have just seen a bit of a levelling off with the power play scores as well in those first six games. You'd expect probably the side batting first to go much harder than they are, and there's nothing doing in terms of your averages for batting first and your power play, and your batting second in your power play, both averaging 35 at the moment. And well, I just thought the side batting first would really look to put down some intent and go much quicker. Your average over batting first and batting second for your power play is unsurprisingly 35. So we're not perhaps seeing the destructive hitting that you might see in a T20, but again, referencing some of those Crick Viz statistics and those fancy algorithms they've got, they made the point that in T20, the hitting increases towards the end of the power play, because obviously batsmen have got time to get their eye in, and in a 25 ball power play that we've got with the 100, they just don't have that time to get their eye in and start smoking it out of the ground. So don't expect the run rates to increase in that power play anytime soon.
I like that. We got a nice hunch from Richard Mann, and then some numbers from Ed Hawkins. Great balancing of the two facets there. Paul, famously, you're an overs man on innings runs. Do we start shorting everything now? Innings runs, power plays, avoiding openers?
Depend on grounds, I think. I mean, if we're looking at used pitches, and it does look that way, and it is quite late in the season, it's later in the season than one would expect, because we've already had all those blast games. But given that start, is par now going to be really low? You know, around 140, maybe even below, which is doesn't feel that hard to reach in this day and age. And I noticed we did get a 173 yesterday. So, you know, let's not jump to too many conclusions. But I think the real game here is to watch the women's match earlier and get the clue. Okay, especially, completely agree with Rich that we're going to see low scores, some really low scores, and that could be the angle, laying really short odds, about 100, 110 maybe. You know, we've seen that in T20 games. When we've had T20 in on slow Indian pitches late in the season, the 120s and 130s are still really, really short, like 1.1, 1.2. So maybe that's the game. Go for the extreme. But I wouldn't really bank on selling the par number at 140, 145, because that does seem still pretty gettable. I still take the view that the average in the 100 will be the T20 run rate plus one. And of course, and it depends on the grounds, because I think we've got two pitches this week that we're talking about that are pretty good and pretty resilient. But certainly Old Trafford, Trent Bridge, they're the places to go, extreme unders.
Thank you, Paul. We're up to speed with initial thoughts on the 100. West Indies versus Pakistan still to come, plus the infamous best bets. Now, some 100 matches to preview now, with the action coming up on Thursday and Friday. So our first game is North London versus Nottingham, or if you prefer, Spirit versus Rockets, Thursday, 6:30 on Sky Sports. We're expecting the Rockets to be sort of 1.85 favourites for this one. Ed Hawkins, what have you got?
All change on your teams. London sign up like this. We think Reese is going to come in because they've lost Crawley. Inglis, the Australian wicketkeeper batsman, opening with him. Joe Denley, Owen Morgan, Ravi Bapara, Mohammad Nabi, Van der Merwe, Chris Wood, Dernbach or Cullen, Amir and Mason Crane. I've got Mason Crane in bold here. Surely Shane Warne is going to pick his leg spinner. As I said, no Crawley. Dan Lawrence is with England and Mark Wood is also with England. So London Spirit already losing players. Nottingham, expect to line up like this. Short, Hales, Wright, Milan, Moores, Patel, Gregory, Rashid Khan, Delangi, Matt Carter, the off-break bowler, coming in for Joe Root, who proved to be a very more than useful all-rounder in that first game against the Brave, and Luke Wood. I think they're going to have to bring in Carter for Root because otherwise they're going to be short of a bowler. What does the pitch do at Lord's? Well, it's been decent for batting in T20. It is an RPO of 8.1, which makes it third best for batters of those 100 venues. In the last 2 years, the runs per ball average, though, is 1.38. So a similar figure to that is, again, pitching is below that 140 mark.
Richard Mann, anything you like in this game across the markets? Match result, top bat, anything you like? We'd love to hear about it.
Well, you'd have to favour Trent Rockets, I think, just looking at that potential top form in Hales, Darcy Short, Dawid Malan. I mean, that's probably as good as it gets, actually, in this competition. But in the London Spirit, Zach Crawley comes out and he's replaced by Lewis Rees, who I put up last week and he didn't get a game. I'm a big fan of him, Derbyshire all-rounder. Really aggressive batsman at the top of the order, scores quickly. At the moment, this year in the Blast, so he's 351 runs and counting at a strike rate of 171.21. He can really give it a blast. He's an excellent player and an underrated one as well. He can bowl a little bit too, so I'll probably be having him on side, maybe in the man of the match market and certainly in the top spirit batsman market. I think he's underrated, and I think looking at the names he's alongside, and I've got a lot of respect for Josh Inglis, but I think Lewis Rees will go under the radar here, so I'll be backing him as a value player.
Okay, great. Paul Krishnamurti, can we talk innings runs? Rumoured to be, someone's checked the forecast, some cloud cover here. I know you like to check conditions. All the ground and tournament data suggests under 40 batting first here. You going unders?
I'm not going to commit myself to that early because it does depend on those conditions. Because for Lords, I mean, we're talking big differences here. Generally, the way that you get low run totals at Lords is cloud cover. So if that does indeed materialise, again, we'll watch the game earlier, watch the women's game, and see how it's playing. Then in that case, maybe. But if it isn't, this is generally a great batting pitch. I mean, the last 9 Blast matches, 3 scores over 200, only 2 under 160. So, and certainly, I am not interested in selling Nottingham Forest's runs here. That top order's too good. So it's very much a wait and see. I think they're definitely the better side on paper. And I don't really think there's a massive toss bias at Lord's. So maybe if there's one bet to put up earlier, it would be Nottingham.
Perfect. Okay. Ed Hawkins, I gather that you wanted to make a point about man of the match.
Yes, man of the match. Tricky market to call. Even harder to call in the 100, I suspect. Richard Mann, very unlucky with his Moeen Ali man of the match bet last week. You got pipped by Zach Crawley, despite Zach Crawley being in the losing team for London Spirit against Birmingham Phoenix in their opening game. And the problem is, they're picking 2 players for your man of the match, and then it's going to a social media vote. So we have an extra factor to try and figure out here. It basically comes down to a popularity contest. Who's got the most followers or something like that? Which team's got the most followers? Which team is the biggest city franchise? So it's really, really tricky to work out whether man of the match is going to be a market worth playing. Or I think they call it hero of the match. I suspect it's something we might have to leave alone.
Get with the modern
sorry, world. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Ed Hawkins, for that nugget. Game two now. Southampton versus Birmingham, or Brave versus Phoenix, as I'm contractually obliged to point out, on Friday at 6:30 on Sky Sports. Ed Hawkins, how are these guys lining up?
They're all changing again, which doesn't make it particularly easy. Brave, boosted by Quinton de Kock turning up, surely. Jofra Archer might get a game. Missed their first game with another niggle, but he had played for Sussex, so surely he comes back this time. Possible 11 for Brave. De Kock and Conway opening the batting. Vince dropping down to three. Alex Davies, Delray Rawlins, Colin de Grandhomme, Archer, Jordan Briggs, Dawson Mills. Birmingham, I think they've got to start getting this 11 right, and they've got to start getting it right quickly, because I'm not sure they've got their best team out at the moment. Do they line up like this? Is what we think they should do. Hammond, Allen, Livingston, Moeen. They need to get Tom Abel fit and in that team. Benjamin, Benny Howell, Cook, Milne, Brown and De Gea. No Daniel Bell Drummond, you'll notice there. He's just not a middle order player. And that's who they've been picking him, and that's not working. They could get Dylan Pennington into that team instead of Pat Brown. I think Tom Helm is going to have to come out. Expensive in game one, didn't bowl against Manchester Originals, and was when that's happening, well, you know, it seems to be time up for him. What's the pitch going to do? This is the toughest batting surface in the competition on the data, although we now recognise it probably as Old Trafford, given how much it's spinning up there. The RPO is 7.2 in T20. Last 2 years, your runs per ball data is 1.36, again, under 140. So there's a bit of a trend perhaps beginning to emerge.
Lovely. Thank you. Paul Krishnamurti, what do you make of these two sides, and what betting angles might you have on them?
Well, I don't think there's a lot to be chosen to choose between those two sides. Possibly Southern Brave, I would say, pre-tournament, and with De Kock back, I'd probably say them, but really not a lot to choose in it. And again, I think with the runs, I think you've got to wait until to see what the pitch is like playing earlier, because it's not a terrible pitch to Rose Bowl. If it's turning, there are some great spinners there, like Danny Briggs and Imran Tahir, so that could go that way. But I'm really, you know, I don't want to take on either of those top orders on the runs. Again, you know, do you really want to take on Quinton de Kock, Devon Conway, James Vince on recent form? With very, very risky strategy. And I suspect at this point the par line's going to be set pretty low. It could be 140. So if anything, maybe it's a case of taking the luxury odds about the overs, like 150, 155 could be like 3.5, something like that. But no strong opinion on that game.
Paul, just picking you up on that point, but looking at what I'd said earlier with the numbers and the way the pitches have been played, batting up top may well be the best place to bat against a hard new ball and the quicker bowlers. And is there an argument to say you'd be as well taking overs and then just getting out after hopefully a strong power play and just getting out and just playing a quick trade like that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, again, you know, these used pitch arguments, we've seen this in India, Pakistan, many, many times, and that's the way to play them. That is the way to play them. You start let's say the run line opens at 140, which I think it probably will do given the slow start. Take 155 at 5-2, maybe 160 at 3-1, maybe, and then give it 4 or 5 overs and get out. You know, you can easily get out of that. Although, just a little trading thing, what I always do in these situations, if you take 5-2, about 155 plus, try and sell the 160 or 165 line at evens or something, just so you get that nice middle in between and bank some profit.
Excellent.
Okay. Richard Mann, I was going to say the South or Brave presumably have recognised they needed to go big on batting with the pitch as it is. Does De Kock come in and fire? What other bets are there for you here?
Yeah, well, I suspect they'll need to get him in. And he's an excellent signing. He's brilliant at the top of the order. But, I mean, it's a strong top order with obviously Vince there as well. But I think Devon Conway, you know, I mean, he's just turning into a bit of a run machine, really. And I think you'd want him on side pretty much all the time. He's in a real hot streak. just had a quick look at his numbers now, just in the blast really, in his last innings, in sort of going from more recent backwards, he's 4-17 out, a duck, 45, 81 out, 53 and 51 out. That was in the blast. I mean, he's in a real hot streak, and we've seen that all summer, and I think De Kock will come in, he may well be cold, but people will still look to him, obviously, and Vince, but I think Conway is just rock solid in any top match back. He's, well, if you fancy the Brave, you can maybe look at the man of the match here, or maybe top batsman markets. But I'd certainly want Conway on side at the moment. I mean, he's just an irresistible form. He looks a top player.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Those are our 100 matches previewed. Remember to check out betting.betfair for every game previewed on there. Now, a T20 International Series to look at. Back in the real world, West Indies and Pakistan begin a T20 series on Wednesday, 24 hours after the West Indies have finished a one-day series against Australia, which itself was delayed because of a COVID positive test. There are four T20s to play. The first T20 is in Bridgetown before it moves to Providence. Ed Hawkins, can you fill us in on the first two matches, please?
Yes, the possible 11s for you. West Indies, Lewis and Simmons reprising their opening combination, which has been pretty successful. Chris Gayle at number three. Then we've got this interchangeable middle order of Pollard, Perrin and Russell, we think, or Hetmyer and Allen are also in the mix. One of those two could be picked instead of Dwayne Bravo, who we've got next. Obed McCoy, Walsh and Hussain, the spinners, who have been very effective against Australia. And then Sheldon Cottrell as your pace man. Pakistan, Rizwan Babar, Fakhar Zaman, Mohammad Hafeez and Max Sood. Again, interchangeable at number four and number five. Shadab Khan, Hassan Ali, we think is going to come back into this 11. Imad Wasim, Shaheen Sharafridi, Usman Kadir and Mohammad Hasnain. Shahjo Khan, possible at number three, moving forward to see how the rest of the series pans out. And maybe Azam Khan might get a game at some stage. Bridgetown, four of the last five have won batting first, but a longer study sees that basically to even money in 15 games back to 2017. In that time, 160 or more has been busted only three times. If you're going under 150 in that little sequence of games, you've won 11 times. So there's a trend there. And another amazing trend for you on the head-to-head. Pakistan have won 11 T20 internationals against West Indies, losing only three. They've won the last four in a row, and they've won nine of the last 10. Why is that? Well, that's because Babar Azam averages 40 runs per innings against West Indies, and Shadab, Hafeez and Imad have got an economy rate, each of them, all under 5.3 against West Indies, suggesting there's an issue with spin.
Richard Mann, Pakistan, quite impressive in that England series. They may have lost 2-1, but did a lot of good things. Have they gone up in your estimation?
Yeah, I really fancy them for this series. I'd be very strong on them. Against a powerhouse England side, with England having home advantage, Pakistan really put it up to them. And they mixed it in different ways as well. Obviously, that high-scoring match at Trent Bridge, and then the rest of the series didn't actually go that way. And they were still really competitive away from home. And I think they've got the makings of a really good T20 side. A very, very strong top order, possibly one of the strongest opening pairs in the world. Good bowling attack. I know the middle order needs work and it needs remedying, but they look a good side to me. And I'm not so keen on West Indies. I know they've come here on the back of a victory over Australia, but I don't think that takes much doing nowadays. And I think Pakistan are the better side here.
Paul, you never trust West Indies as a rule. They're 1.85 favourites for this match. Surely you're betting against them at the odds, at those odds. Sorry, for the first T20, that is.
Yeah, I am. It's wrong. I mean, we noticed already, this is a precursor to the World Cup. They're in the same group. And of course, we discussed before, the West Indies are shorter in the betting than Pakistan for the T20 World Cup, despite it being played in the Middle East where Pakistan play their home matches. So clearly they're underestimated. And the head-to-head that Ed's already read out, 11-3 to Pakistan, 5-2 in the West Indies, shows that Pakistan are a bit comfortable in these conditions. You've also got to factor in that, yes, they just beat Australia 4-1, West Indies, which is a good win. But once again, Australia, as we discussed previously, are massively overrated at the moment. And I really doubt that Hayden Walsh and Akil Hussain will be anywhere near as effective against Pakistan. Whereas, as Ed read out, the Pakistan spinners have got a tremendous record. So, yeah, I'm all over Pakistan here. Absolutely.
Ed Hawkins, you've got some names and numbers for us.
Yes, names and numbers are your side markets. Top Pakistan batsman, the go-to man has been Babar Azam over the last 2 years, most of the time on this cricket-only betting show. However, we've got a new challenger in the market. Rizwan is actually trumping him now. 8 wins in the last 18. Babar has 7 in 18. So it's tricky to know who to go for. They're both going to be short on the betting. I wonder if it's time to start playing these on top match batsmen. You might be getting some decent odds on the pair of them there. West Indies top batsman, well, again, the go-to man, Pollard, has 7 wins from 23. We were denied that opportunity to get with him against Australia in those matches. With a win rate like that and with a price probably 5 to 1, 11 to 2, I don't think he's going to be shorter than 5 to 1. We're going to be all over that. Numbers for you out of interest. Andre Russell has 1 win in 10. Simmons 6 in 18 and Lewis 6 in 22. But the bigger edge is going to be with Pollard. Gale has only 1 win in 12, so don't get involved with him.
Opening this up to the floor for some side value. Anyone? Richard Mann?
Yeah, well, Ed's mentioned it already. Rizwan just been a revelation at the top of the order. 176 runs from 3 matches against England. Topped in 2 of those games, 1 only narrowly. But then he made 63 in the other game when Babar pipped him there. I know he's got Babar to beat, but I mean, I think if you maybe don't have to take top Pakistan match batsman, but you can certainly take him the man of the match back, can't you? I mean, I think we're all in agreement that over the series, Pakistan will be the better side. So I'd be with Rizwan throughout the series, I think, in the man of the match back. I think he'll come good at least once.
Okay, Paul Krishnamurti.
I'm a bit wary of backing the openers here, even though I think that Pakistan will absolutely know how to play these pitches. I mean, we've seen in the CPL, the way to play these slow West Indian pitches is actually to keep wickets in hand for the deaf. And I think that they will do that. I think it'll be hard to get Babar and Rizwan out early and they will save it. But if we're talking 150s, 145, 155 as the score, there is scope there for a middle order to catch up quickly, such as Kieran Pollard, particularly for them. And I will add Fabian Allen, who is always, he's repeatedly underestimated on Betfair Sportsbook, 50 to 1 the other day. I got him 100 to 1 when he nearly won a few weeks ago. So that might be the way. I certainly don't want to back any of those Windies top order here. And just to repeat as well, as we said before, it probably won't happen because he probably won't get the chance, but Hassan Ali is too good to be at the price he is. He's generally 66 to 1 or more to be top bat, and that's value.
Thank you very much, gents. That completes that. Now, it's the bit you've all been waiting for. Best bets. Time for some winners, we hope. Right, final part of the show. Best bets time. Ed Hawkins, do you want to give us some scores on the doors, please?
Yes, Paul is plus 24.66. A rare blank for him last week. Richard, plus 9, down 3 points, a non-run on Lewis Rees. I think basically both guys suffered on trying to get the innings runs right on the 100. So hopefully we might have better luck this week with our bets. And Paul Krishnamurti, you're up first. You have the conch.
I'll have 2 points on Pakistan to win the first T20 against West Indies.
And I'll, sticking with the same, the first T20, I'll have 1 point Mohammed Rizwan to be man of the match.
Okay, again on the first T20, Pakistan, West Indies. If West Indies bat first, back them to get under 160 at evens for 2 points. If there isn't the price before the match, leave the order in and see if it gets matched at evens.
So in the Southern Brave v Birmingham Phoenix 100 match, I'll have 1 point on Devon Conway to be man of the match. and 1 point on Devon Conway to be top Southern Brave batsman.
Okay, for my final point, I have 1 point in the Arsenal-Nottingham Forest game on Alex Hales to be man of the match, otherwise known as London Spirit versus Trent Rockets.
And I'll finish up in London Spirit versus Trent Rocket. 2 points on Lewis Rees to be top London Spirit batsman.
But we're not quite done yet, folks. A terrific offer for you from Betfair on the 100. Now offering no cash out suspensions on the match odds on Betfair Sportsbook for all the 100 matches. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. I've got to say that as fast as possible. So check out betting.betfair for more information. And check out betting.betfair for more the 100 match previews every single day. To repeat, no cash out suspensions on match odds. See you next time.